It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
I got to say that I'm going to miss that soundbite from John Kennedy because eventually we're not going to have a Biden administration. Hell, that could be next week for all we know. But that is one of my favorites. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon, Sue Thomas. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
We got the Hall of Famer standing by as well.
Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks.
It has been, unfortunately, a sad and tragic day down in Georgia. We have to talk about, and this is so often the case with my show because we come on and these things happen either in the morning or in the middle of the day. This one in particular down in what is an area called Barrow County, Georgia. It's about 50 miles from the center of Atlanta. Winder is the name of the community. The school is a high school, and this happened at 9:30 this morning. Investigators say that a suspect is in custody, so they didn't take this person out. They had a news conference a little earlier, right, Fred? And they're expecting to have one again here, maybe in a matter of minutes, and we're going to bring that to you.
Right.
We don't know. I think you would agree, because you've been following this for several hours. There's still a lot of questions about what happened, about who the victims are, on all these things. We don't have a lot of answers.
We don't have many answers at all. We're starting to get numbers are trickling out. So we're hearing about, you know, four dead, nine injured, up to 30, nine hospitalized, up to 30 injured.
But, I mean, they haven't even really narrowed down the suspect's age. Have they even said if it was a student or a former student or anything like that?
I think in one of the latest things, I think Steve Harrigan is going to tell us about that. If you want to hear some of Steve Harrigan's cuts from
Fox's Steve Harrigan.
The numbers, four people killed by this shooter, at least nine wounded, serious enough to be hospitalized, many of them taken away by helicopter, and as many as 30 wounded overall. Some of those apparently wounded trying to run away from the shooting, perhaps injured limbs. The shooter himself in custody and alive. School age. We don't know anything more about him.
You know, what I heard there, one of the difficulties that they seemingly had, I can just kind of extrapolate, is this is a rural area. They don't have hospitals that close, so they had to get them to, you know, the larger metropolitan area.
And just walking up to this scene, it was a really chaotic sense. For about a mile around this school, you could tell that parents simply jumped out of their cars, left doors swinging, left them parked wherever to try and run here to get their children, not only from this high school, but from a nearby elementary school and a daycare center as well. The stories are what we're going to hear next. Those stories just beginning to come out. A young man who saw his math teacher shot. Another young man in the restroom hearing shots and fleeing out a window. So these stories really of panic, and it's panic you see in many of those parents' faces after being reunited with their fortunate children.
So the streets of this area became quickly congested when the word got out about the shooting. It happened again about 9:30 this morning. And one of the things that happens in an instant like this, we're having a bit of a debate, I think, even nationally right now, about having, you know, kids not being allowed to have phones in school. And parents, some parents throw a red flag on that because of communication. In this particular case, the parents are freaking out. They can't communicate with their kids because many of the kids have their phones in the school. They fled the school, or they were ushered out of the school, so they couldn't communicate with their parents. So that left the parents and the kids in a rather uncomfortable situation. But you can see what happened there. They're just getting out, and they can't go back in. It's a crime scene now, so some of that became very, very confusing. You heard Steve refer to some of the witnesses now.
Mr. Aswan did have a gunshot wound to the bottom of his chest. He was bleeding out. Some other kids got up and they dragged his body inside and closed the door. After they dragged him in, I started barricading the door with all the things I could find. Me and some other kids, we lifted up his shirt, see where the gunshot wound was, maybe try and stop it, put some pressure on it. And the bleeding would not stop, so we kind of just stopped until the cops got there.
Oh, man. Oh, so, geez. You know, you're in high school. You're a senior in high school, and your math teacher is bleeding out from a school shooting, and you're barricading the door, and you're trying to drag him to safety. That's what these kids had to deal with today in this community in Texas. Now, of course, this is predictable because whenever something like this happens along these lines, it doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't really matter what happened. You're going to call for more gun laws, right, KJP?
We continue to call on Congress to do something. To do something. We need universal background checks. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Require safe storage of firearms. Invest in violence prevention programs and pass a national red flag law.
Okay, those are all the things that they want to tick off time and time again. We don't know anything about this. Now, this is a rural area of Texas. The bottom line is, and you know, this is something I
Georgia,
think is lost on a lot of people. Way I said Texas, yeah. Sorry, in Georgia. Thank you, Sue. Mm-hmm. We don't know if it was a long rifle. It likely was, but there's a very small percentage of people, even though we get this coverage for mass shootings, very, very small number of people in this country die from any kind of long rifle or even a shotgun. It's mainly handguns, right? And half of the people that die in this country from gun violence, it's from suicides, unfortunately. So I get the instinct to say we got to do something. KJP wants Congress to do something. What the hell are they going to do to actually fix this? Now, I spent a fair amount of time yesterday. I didn't mention this on the air because it's a little hard to describe. But I spent about 45 minutes yesterday before the show going through the manifesto from Audrey Hale, the shooter down in Nashville. And they just released it in totality this week. And you can download it from the publication is actually called the Tennessee Star. Michael Patrick Leahy is the editor of that particular publication. They just published the manifesto. He's going to join me in the next hour. But one of the reasons I didn't talk about this yesterday is because it's essentially a bunch of screen captures of Audrey Hale's diary. And some of this had been released previously, okay? And she was the trans shooter down
right.
there. And I don't know if what I read yesterday gave me a whole lot more insight into her motivations, but here's what it did do. It told me that this little girl or boy, don't even know him. By the way, the Audrey Hale was 28 years old. So this was not someone who was, you know, 16 or 17 year olds. She or he, I don't even know because it's so confusing, was a deeply, deeply troubled individual.
Yeah.
Talked about, you know, dying. Talked about how disconnected they were from the rest of the kids. Talked about, they're in a bunch of it is just, it's not even diary entries as much as a bunch of scribbling and, you know, little pictures, doodles, stuff like that. And then random little statements or comments where at one point she says something along the lines of, well, you know, the boys don't like the fact that, or no, I'm sorry, because I can't remember which transition direction that she went. I think it was Aiden. Aiden was... No, I'm sorry. Audrey was the girl transitioning into Aiden. So Audrey would have been the dead name. Sorry, Sue, this is real hard to keep track. So then when she becomes a boy, the girls, she references this, the girls don't like it when the boy doesn't have a penis. Well, okay, that kind of makes sense, right? Mm. But deeply, deeply troubled. This was someone with severe mental illness.
Right.
And we're not dancing around the edges of someone who might need a little medication or something like that. This is a deeply, deeply troubled individual, Audrey Hale, who planned this for a long, long time. There are so many entrants in this, diary where she talks about this day coming and how she wants to kill people and how she thinks that the death toll should be high, how she wishes that, how she knows that she's not going to survive. This is all in great detail. But again, it's not in, you know, lengthy posts. It's a bunch of doodles and pictures and weird stuff.
Right. Like, did she... It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Give any sense of why when you're 28, you go to a school?
You know, it's all over the board in that. And one of the questions I have, I don't think so.
Okay.
But that was, so she had focused on that school for a while. Michael Patrick Leahy will have probably much more to say about this, but that's a good question. I can't remember just from kind of taking a cursory glance at that yesterday. But I don't really understand why, and this is another question for Michael, both sides in Nashville, when I say both sides, policing, the police agencies, and the parents from the school and the school, they didn't want the manifesto out there. I think for different reasons. I'm not sure. I don't know why. Because most of what came out previously is, I mean, it makes sense. None of it's really shocking. It's a little shocking just to see it in front of you in 50 pages of a diary. But I don't know why they were trying to fight this, because then you have the lack of transparency and people wondering, well, are we being taught all this stuff? I don't think there's anything in here that's reflecting poorly on the school. I think everything reflects poorly on Audrey Hale and, you know, the mental condition that, he or she had at that particular time. But we'll get into that in the next hour with Michael Patrick Leahy. Our friend Phil Holloway is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. He's a Fox News legal analyst. We have not had Phil on, but of course, he's down there in the Atlanta area. This happened at the Appalachian High School in Winder, Georgia, in Barrow County, about 45 minutes outside of Atlanta. Yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour, Sue, you might remember I talked a little bit about this the situation in Danville, Illinois, which spreads across the country. There was a guy by the name of Jacob Lane that is a Republican strategist in Danville, which is east of Champaign. Fred, did I get that right? I looked at the map yesterday. And he wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal that talked about how the COVID relief money paid for a water park and luxury hotels. I touched on this in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to have Jacob explain it a little bit later. We'll have Chief Fitch on this afternoon from the perspective of law enforcement, former St. Louis County Police Chief, former St. Louis County Councilman as well. His thoughts on the school shooting in Georgia. I mentioned Michael Patrick Leahy. He's coming in here for a quick visit. We've got George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet to explain why, you know, Twitter is banned in Brazil, and Jeff Murdoch from the Washington Times, plus an audio cut of the day, and we're all coming up. Hang in there.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.